Thank you for choosing this podcast. It's our pleasure to share with you the word of the Lord. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. Join us as Pastor Jim Bunch shares God's word with the people at Christian Outreach Center in Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Message we have for this morning, a gift, a new start. It's a happy new year. How many celebrated New Year's? A few? Couple? Three? How many saw the actual new year in? Oh, there we go. Okay. All right. And, you know, this message is about a renewed fire for a new year. And, you know, we don't need to settle for second best. We don't need to settle for second chances. God has given us chance after chance, second chance after second chance, and that should not be the end of it. When He gives us second chance, that means that's a time that we can just rise up and move forward, and we can really just not dwell in the second chance, but to rise up and move on. Peter Drucker is a fellow that wrote a lot of motivational material and a lot of management material for large businesses a few years ago. And he made this statement, unless commitment is made, there are only promises and hopes, but no plans. There has to be a commitment. From time to time, I get an email from my pastor back in West Tennessee that's put out by, I'm not sure who it's put out by, but it's always signed at the bottom, a cheerful heart is good medicine, Proverbs 17:22. But anyhow, it's always some type of humorous thing that just kind of lifts your heart. Sometimes things can get a little heavy, and sometimes you need a little excitement. And but anyhow, this one came across, and it has to do with coffee. In a rush to work one morning, I pulled up to the drive-thru window at a fast food restaurant and ordered some coffee. Because I was in a hurry, I asked them to put a couple ice cubes in the coffee so it would cool down more quickly, and I would drink it. I could drink it faster. I sat there at the window for a few minutes, wondering where they had to go to get my coffee. When a frustrated teenager finally came up and said, "I'm sorry for the delay, but the ice you wanted in your coffee keeps melting." I thought, how many times do we do that? We need God in our lives. So God, come and bless us. Fill our hearts with joy. And then, it's not long before we're thinking, well, God, where's the joy? This morning's scripture comes from Philippians 3:12-14. It's a tremendous passage of scripture that gives us just unmeasurable wisdom. Philippians 3:12-14. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for this scripture that you inspired. Inspired a man to pen these words so that we could be edified and encouraged and uplifted this day and tomorrow and the next day until we see the King. Father, I just pray that you'd open our hearts, our minds, Father, to those things that you would have us to glean from this gold nugget this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the New Year's celebrations was typically your parties, and there were some rituals that typically goes along with some New Year's celebrations. You know, the black-eyed peas and hog jowl and bacon and, you know, all those things. You know, there's tradition, there's ritual, there's things that the people just do just because it's a new year. There's text messaging. When it rolled around the new year, I text my kids, Happy New Year. And then I realized that one of my kids was in the new year and one of my kids was in West Tennessee, which was an hour yet to get to the new year. So I got to text it again an hour later. There's just things that we do just because it's a new year. But we have news. The news is that just because it's a new year does not mean anything's different. There was nothing magical when that second hand made that last click in 2009. We have, yes, a new year, but it's up to us and how we receive direction from our Savior, power from the Holy Spirit. That's what makes a difference on how we proceed through this new year. What makes a new year so special? Is it just a reason to celebrate? Is it just we re-examine the past year and say, okay, I'm going to do this different and that different, and then set our course of action? For many people, it is a new start. You may have had a fantastic year last year. You may have had a year of struggles. You may have had a year of disappointments, some sorrow. But we need to keep in mind that last year was last year. And that we can gain a new start in 2010. But the irony of this is, we can get a new start every day. And that should be our focus. That should be our goal, is every time we get up and we begin to address our Savior for direction, for guidance, we need to commit, this is a new day that God has given me to go forward, to go strong and rejoicing in my Lord. We're going to look at Peter this morning. I believe that he has given us an excellent model for a new start. And there's 3 points to my message this morning. First one is forget the past, but remember God's promises. Secondly, renew your commitment. Thirdly, forge ahead towards the mark of the high calling. Just as a summary about the life of Peter, all of us here are familiar with the scripture. Peter was a follower of Christ. He's kind of almost like a tag-along puppy. Wherever Jesus was, that's where Peter was. Peter was with Jesus when Jesus went up on the mount to pray. Peter was with Jesus when every single miracle occurred, except for possibly the first one where Jesus turned the water into wine. Every other occasion, Peter was right there. He was only a half a step behind Jesus if he wasn't just right there beside him the whole way. He was a Christian. He was one of those that every time that Jesus was out in ministry, it didn't matter where it was at, there was Peter. Peter was also one of the ones that was always the first to speak, always the first to give his opinion. He was the first one, typically, that would spring into action. If you recall in the garden where Jesus had been praying, and it was time for Judas to betray him, the guards came forward. It was Peter that drew his sword to the aggressors. We don't see that any other of the disciples sprung forward to back up or to defend Jesus Christ. But Peter's the one that I don't know if Peter had ADD or if he was just super aggressive or what. But I can just imagine, you know, the scene, you know, they're being confronted, and the first thing Peter does, grab his sword, you know. He was all up in arms. But Peter experienced a moment of despair. He experienced this moment when he realized the one that he had followed, idolized, cherished, learned from, every morsel that came from the words of Jesus Christ, Peter was just soaking it all in. All of a sudden, he realized he had been crucified. He saw him there, lifeless, with nothing more for Peter. It was a moment of realization. That Jesus Christ did not come to overthrow the Roman Empire that was crushing down on the Christians. He had certain expectations of Jesus Christ. And when he saw him there on that cross, lifeless, he was crushed. Can you just sense a despair that Peter was in? What do I do now? You can just kind of speculate all the questions that may have been going through Peter's mind at this point. He had devoted probably close to 3 years of his life, abandoned his previous occupation. Once you've been out of an occupation for a period of 2 or 3 years, it's very difficult to go back to it. He had devoted his entire life to what he's now looking at lifeless on this cross. What did Peter do? He took a short retreat. He didn't know how long it would be. For as far as he knew, he was going back to his previous occupation. He went fishing. What could Peter have done? Well, Peter could have ran. He could have ran to another church. He could have ran to another super leader. He could have just ran away because all of a sudden, you know, he had promoted Jesus to the degree that that was his whole life, and now that Jesus was not or did not appear to be in the picture, his life was gone. He could have blamed others. He could have blamed the other disciples for not defending Jesus, even though Jesus rebuked him for doing that. He could have blamed Judas. Judas, if you would not have done this, this would not have happened. He could have given up. He could have said, I poured my whole life into this for 3 years. And see what I get out of this. I give up. He could have said, I've been hurt. I'm never going to do that again. How many of us have actually heard all of these things? Even in the Christian realm? Blaming others, giving up. I've been hurt. There's many, many different things that Peter could have said or used as an excuse not to go on. Well, there's a few things that affected the course of the rest of Peter's life. First of all, Jesus Christ had invested in Peter. He had poured his heart and soul into Peter. He had personally trained him and shared the gospel like it had never been shared before to Peter and the 12 and all 12 of them. Jesus Christ has invested in each one of us in a greater degree than Peter. And you may say, you know, wait a minute. What do you mean by that? Jesus has not in a physical form appeared and ate with me and shared stories with me. But through the Holy Spirit, He speaks to our hearts every day. We have a closer connection to Jesus Christ, I'd say, than even Peter had. Jesus Christ has invested in each and every one of us. And I often wonder, God, what am I doing with that investment? Am I just letting that investment just set and do nothing? Or am I taking that investment and giving you some returns? Peter had seen miracles. He saw the signs. He saw the wonders. He saw the lame walking. He saw the blind seeing. All those things that just, you know, just wows us. Peter saw firsthand. We have seen some miracles here too. Here in this very sanctuary, we have seen miracles. We hear of miracles every month when our missionaries send us out newsletters, and many of them are posted back here in the foyer, of the miracles that God is doing and the healings and just things to rejoice about. Yes, we've experienced everything that Peter has experienced. Jesus Christ had revealed to Peter some things that was about to happen. If you recall, it was Peter that Jesus was speaking of when he said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before this night's over. It was Peter right prior to that said, when Jesus was talking about his crucifixion, Jesus, I will never allow that. My goodness, how quickly things change. Within just a few hours, Peter had, in fact, denied him three times. When Peter heard that rooster crow, can you imagine the grief, the crushing that came upon him? He had to think about the words of Jesus. That before you hear that rooster, you will deny me three times. When he heard that rooster, I'm sure he replayed those words of Jesus over and over and over again. But he had an opportunity to see Jesus after he resurrected. He got a second chance. He saw this Jesus, this man, come back to life after 3 days. He was one of the two or three that was there when Jesus was transfigured. When he glowed. Actually, that was before the crucifixion. But he saw him transfigured. He saw the divinity within the Christ. All these things Peter was thinking about and pondering as he was back fishing again after Jesus had been crucified there on the cross. I'm sure these things was going through his mind. He was thinking, what about this? What about, oh yeah, Jesus said this. Peter had a moment of truth when he heard that rooster crow. The scripture tells us that he left the area and wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. Now this is one that actually walked with Jesus. One-on-one with Jesus. You know, there's those ministries that claim that, you know, don't say anything negative. Don't say that you're not feeling well because Satan can use that. You know, don't say that your heart's sorrowed. Listen, there is reality. Peter was at a moment, the lowest moment in his life. A grown man going out of the courtyard, finding a place by himself and just bawling something fierce. We sing a song from time to time that we're pressed but not crushed, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. But the reality is there's times when things do seem crushing. It does seem that our hopes and joys and aspirations are crushed. It does seem that from time to time we are struck down, but we have hope. We don't have to stay there. That's the great thing. We have we have second chances. We have second opportunities that God has for each one of us. For Peter to overcome, he had to repent. He had to humble himself. Peter had made some huge mistakes. He was out of the will of God in the garden where he tried to defend Jesus Christ. He thought it was best at the moment, but it was out of the will of God. He had denied even knowing anything about Jesus Christ. He even said, I don't even know who this man is, to a little servant girl. He had to repent, humble himself, and he had to remember that Jesus Christ promised a comforter, the Holy Spirit. He had a lot of time to think about things. In order for him to overcome, he had to realize there is a tomorrow and there is something great that God has in store. Regardless of what things look like, regardless of what has happened in the past, God is a God of miracles. God is a God that can bring forth a renewed spirit, a renewed plan, a renewed hope for tomorrow. Peter experienced in this despair gives us a model for a gift for a new start. Forget the past failures and look to the promises of Christ. Scripture I read at the beginning of this message, it was Paul that wrote this. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me towards heavenward in Christ Jesus. You have to acknowledge your inadequacies. You have to realize that, hey, I've got some limitations. I've got some hang-ups. I've got some of these things that's hindering me from what God wants in my life. Yeah, you acknowledge those. Paul acknowledged. He said, I can't say I've gotten it yet. One of the most revered people in the New Testament that wrote a majority of the New Testament, he says, I don't have it yet. Some things I just don't get yet. But what I do know is that I cannot look back in the past. I cannot stay there. I cannot dwell there. It's past. It's gone. I have to leave it. James gives us a clue of how we can overcome some of those failures in the past. He says we have to study. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but that's one of the things that most people try to put off to the last minute is studying. Whether it's studying for an exam, for a certification. I've sat for several certifications and exams, and I try to plan ahead and say, okay, I need to start studying at this point and set my goals and benchmarks. I need to have this understood by this point and this and this and this. And inevitably, when it comes up to the date to take the exam, oh, I wish I would have started earlier. Or it might have been preparing the house for the company. Last minute. Rushing around, starting, oh, I forgot about that. Oh, I wish I would have started that earlier. I wish I would have put the pie in the oven earlier, you know, etc. James tells us to study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God. Whatever our inadequacies are, that's an opportunity for God to do a mighty work. Let's face it, if we knew it all, and had all skills and all abilities and all talent, what would be the miracle that God could do in our life? He wants us as we are, to right now, where we are, yes, acknowledge where our weaknesses are, but then strive towards the mark. Let God direct our paths. Let Him do that mighty work in our life that He has called us to. Yes, we have to forget what's behind. We have to seek and meditate on His promises. This particular verse that I just read talks about one of the promises, and that's the heavenward promise. That at some point, we won't have these sorrows. We won't have these struggles. We won't have these just short-lived successes, and then something happens, and then we have to restructure and then go forward. We have a heavenward goal, and it says we have to press, we have to strain towards that. That does not mean it's always a piece of cake. It's not always easy come. But we have to be determined and not give up on that determination. That it gives us an allowance to be stubborn about it. This is one of those occasions where I believe that the emotion of stubbornness is a good thing. Set your goal heavenward and be stubborn about following that path that God leads you on. But while we're here on earth, we have many promises. There's no way I could go through these promises that's in the Word of God this morning. But I do guarantee you that no matter what we are dealing with in our life, in our occupation, in our existence, in our relationships, in our families, there is a promise that God has written in this Word that will give us direction, will encourage us, will edify us to keep going and doing the work that He has called us to do. The promises. We have to seek them out. Peter, begin to think about the promises. Begin to think about this promise of a comforter that Jesus said He was going to go away. And yeah, sure enough, He went away. And now He's going to bring... He said He was going to send a comfort. I wonder who that might be. Peter had to acknowledge Christ's plan. It wasn't Peter's plan. It wasn't Peter's goals. We know that if the early church would have been founded on Peter's plan and Peter's goals, we would have had a mess. We'd be building fortresses rather than churches. We would have been building sharper and stronger swords than going to the Word. Peter had to come to the realization it wasn't his plan. It had to be God's plan. And God's plan for Peter was the Holy Spirit. It was power. Hallelujah. Peter had to renew his commitment. Yes, Peter was a tag-along when Christ was walking this earth. But for a few moments, he did abandon. And he had to renew his spirit. When Jesus had risen, spent some time with Peter, we all know the passage of Scripture from John 21, how Jesus began to interrogate Peter. They had just had a meal together. Had just had a fish dinner. And after dinner, they kind of sat back and they began to talk. And Jesus popped the question. A lot of things come up during dinner time, don't they? Enjoy a good meal, enjoy good company, and then you get down to some business. And Jesus jumped right into the business. He looked at Peter and said, "Peter, do you love me?" Wow, what a question. Peter's response was, "Of course I love you." Jesus answered back to him and said, "Feed my lambs." Now you notice, we all know the story, how Jesus asked it three times. After every question and every response of Peter, Jesus answered a little bit differently or responded a little bit differently. This first time he said, "Feed my lambs." Insinuating that Peter, you're going to have to care for some of the young. I don't know if this was in reference to children, young Christians, young believers. He said, "Feed my lambs." The young, the tender, that needs a lot of direction. Young churches, feed my lambs. He had to acknowledge that God had a purpose for Peter and that Peter needed to follow God's plan. Then, of course, Jesus asked him again, "Peter, do you love me?" You know, God or Jesus had just asked him once, now he's asking him the second time, "Do you love me?" Of course, Peter replied, "Of course I do." Jesus replied this second time a little bit differently than the first time. This time it said, "Take care of my sheep." First time was, "Feed my lambs. Give them the spiritual food that they need to grow." This second one is to care for my sheep. There's a lot of difference between feeding and then going on to something else and staying there and caring. Peter had some things to learn. He couldn't just, to be in God's plan, he couldn't just run off at every little whim that he wanted to. He couldn't do everything that he wanted to do. He had to rely upon Christ. Then the third question, "Peter, do you love me?" Of course, Peter answers, "You know that I love you." Jesus responded this time, "Feed my sheep." First time was, "Feed my lambs." Second time was, "Care for my sheep." And the third one is, "Feed my sheep." The mature people that he was going to, or P, people and churches he was going to be dealing with. It insinuates it's going to be a life ambition. Peter, I've invested something in you. And this is not just going to be a service. This is not just going to be a short revival. You're going to have to see this as a lifetime venture. You're going to have to put your whole commitment, your whole life, into my plan. And then finally Jesus responded, "Follow me." He was telling Peter, don't follow yourself. Don't follow your gut instinct. Don't follow what you think is right. Follow me. Follow me, Jesus Christ. And what words of wisdom is that for us today? Yes, we have to refocus, renew our commitment, renew our zeal to follow Jesus Christ. And focus upon His desires. The third point, we have to forge towards the mark of the high calling of our Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter was able to forge ahead because Jesus had told him about a comforter. He had told him, he had trained him, and then told him about this comforter, and he had told him that this comforter would be an empowering deity. Peter did not understand what this comforter was all about. He did not understand this power that he had not yet received. He had walked with Jesus for 3 years and saw that there was no way that anybody could have more power than Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus was telling me, after I go, there's somebody that's coming and you're going to be endued with power. Wow. He had to realize that. He had to accept that. Because of the Holy Spirit, Peter, the Christian, became a new man. We all realize, we all understand the concept of being filled with the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us. Peter, yeah, he was a follower of Christ. He was a total believer in Christ. He had devoted most of his time. And then after he saw Jesus transfigured and then saw him resurrected and ate with him, he knew without a doubt the power of Jesus Christ. But when he was filled with the Spirit, he became a new man. Yes, he was a Christian. But when he was filled, he became a different person, a different man. One that fit into God's plan. Peter's nature before the filling of the Holy Spirit, we've talked about, he was hot-headed. He was quick to react. And he was one that deserted the call. Even while he was a Christian. Hot-headed, quick reactions, and deserted the call. But then after he was empowered with the Holy Spirit, Peter became confident, he became consistent, and he became that steadfast rock that Jesus told him he would be. That's what God can do in our life. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. If you feel like you're inadequate, that you don't have what it takes to do this or do that, spend some time soaking in the Holy Spirit and you'll come out a different person. If you don't like who you are right now, spend that time with the Holy Spirit and He will bring energy to your life. He'll restore you. He will bring vitality to your life. Peter experienced this firsthand. You know, Peter, when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he could have gotten and said, "Wow, that was good. Man, I want to do that again. Let's go home and we'll come back tomorrow and maybe we can do this again." No. He began to share his faith. 3-4 days earlier, he was the coward in the courtyard, saying, "I don't even know who this man is." Now he's standing among the crowd and preaching from a balcony to thousands of people. He didn't care what they thought of him. He wanted to tell of a great Savior that he had experienced and the power of the Holy Spirit that had changed his life. He wanted to tell others about it. He didn't. All of a sudden, he didn't care what they might do to him. He didn't care if he may be apprehended and crucified just like Jesus, his Savior, had been done just a few short days before that. I guess it was more than 3 days. They was in the upper room for 40 days. Peter preached to thousands. And the Word tells us that there was thousands added to the church that day. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power that was not just for Peter, but it's for every last one of us here this morning. Are we allowing it to saturate us to the point that Peter, with all his faults, with all his things that was going on that was against the will of God, he finally allowed it? And it changed him? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us to that degree? Wow. Peter allowed it. And we see what a difference it made in the church. Yeah, it made a huge difference in Peter's life. But look at the difference that it made, not only in Peter, but in those around Peter. Thousands of others. The church. Closing this morning. Through Peter's example, God has inspired us to grow. Peter didn't have everything he needed. He needed something else. But through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter did it. Through the power, through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. We can. Whether you think of the little choo-choo train that couldn't make it up the hill and said, I think I can, or whether whatever vision comes to your mind, I can do it through Christ, which strengthens me. And how do we get that strength? It's through the Holy Spirit. All things are possible to them that are called according to His purpose and walk in His ways. But that's the key. It has to be His purpose, His ways. He will give us strength. And we will do great things together. We have to forget the past failures and remember the promises of Christ. Hang on to those promises. Forget the failures. Remember the promises. Remember them. Remember it. Go over them and over them and over them. I mean, I'd recommend the Christian bookstore down here has a book of promises. They have in several different versions. They've got the pocket style. They've got a large book of them, like the size of a Bible. But they're just the verses with promises. Train yourself every day by reading some promises. He didn't write those words in this scripture just to go in vain, just to be a good bedtime story. He recorded those so that we can be encouraged and lifted up, that He is in control despite what things look like around us. He is in control and we can do mighty things. We have to renew our commitment, renew our zeal. Peter did it when he had made a complete fool of himself. How many has ever made a complete fool of themselves? I have. I have. I guarantee you I have. Peter made a huge fool of himself, but he recommitted himself to Christ, and wow. And then we have to forge ahead. We have to do something with what Jesus has given to us, and we have to do it in the plan that He has proposed for us. I think Peter has given us an excellent opportunity. Jesus inspired all the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Acts, they all talk about Peter's experience. Now, if it was that important to put in the Word of God, it has something in there for us. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You that You have brought this Word to us. We thank You that we can grow from here. We thank You for New Year's. Time to make new resolutions, to make new commitments. But Father, I just pray that You'd inspire us to do this on a daily basis. We cannot go a day without You. But we can go every day with You. Father, we just pray that You just encourage us. We thank You that You have encouraged us through this Word. And we're going to put our trust in You. We're going to lean upon You and go forward in victory in the name of Jesus.